Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
No matter how they toss the dice, it had to be. Hey, it's Brian Beebe here, once again, Wednesday night. This is 5 o'clock time. I hope it's working better for you. It really doesn't matter to me. You know, Wednesdays are my day off, so I can come in anytime. But we're going to talk about Christmas things, obviously, with Christmas on everybody's mind. But I know I'm not supposed to get too political here with this show. We're brought to you by a couple of family-oriented businesses, Monk's Bar and Grill, and Sorrento's at the Wilderness. And we try to keep it G-rated and kind of apolitical here on this show. But I got a lot of stuff from my Democrat friends today saying what a big deal it was that Doug Jones won in Alabama over Roy Moore. And isn't it amazing how many commentators and regular people talking about this slipped? They couldn't keep these names right. It was Roy Jones, and it was Doug Moore, and it was Doug Jones and Roy Moore. You know what I mean? And even the top guys were saying Doug Moore. The DNC chair was interviewed today, and he said Doug Moore. And then he couldn't remember Doug Jones's name. He this is the Democratic National Committee Chairman. Doug Jones. You know, come on.
Tom Jones and, Roy Rogers. Yeah. And,
Clayton Moore. Yeah. Clayton Moore was the Lone Ranger. So, but anyway, I just wanted to mention this one thing. You think the Democrats came away with anything? It was kind of a special election and not a... A lot of the Republicans turned out. Plus, there was 20,000 write-in votes. That was the difference in the election, 20,000. But the numbers were like this. Doug Jones got like 645,000 votes, okay? But Roy Moore got 625,000 votes, you know what I mean? 625,000 people in Alabama voted for Roy Moore. Think about it. Have we come very far? I'm not sure that we have.
That's hard to say out loud, yeah.
Thank you, Mike. But anyway, and today is the first day of Hanukkah. And I just wanted to say this one other thing, political thing. I don't think that these religions... major religions all over the world are all that different when it comes to they're all worshiping one God, and usually if you get right down to it, it's the same guy. It's the same God, you know. He's the good that fights the bad, and he's the one that controls all aspects of our lives according to religious, you know, people. And I don't know that it matters if we say Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas. In England, they say Happy Christmas. So maybe we could fix it all if we just said Merry Holidays over here. Huh?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, we could just, if you just said to, you're talking about strangers here that you meet and say, in stores, you say, Merry Christmas is never going to offend anybody, I don't think. But Happy Holidays is generic, you know, and whatever holiday they might be having at the moment. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say about that. And I'm going to tell you a couple stories, and I'm going to read a story that I wrote a few years ago about this time of year. I wear strong glasses, like you can tell these are strong, but I usually have my contacts in, and then all I have to do is put on the reading glasses. But sometimes on my days off, I let my eyes rest for from the contacts and put these strong glasses. These are strong. I got these were $6. These were only a dollar. $6 at the Red Barn Flea Market in Bradenton, Florida. These are a dollar anywhere, at any dollar store anyway. Anybody who pays more than that for readers, get smart.
Now okay? They're $7 on
no,
your
no.
Yeah.
Even at Walmart, readers like these are $5.83. They're getting them in the same place as Dollar Tree is. And here's the answer to this. Here's the reason I go to the... And when you go and get them at Dollar Tree, like I do, there's no reason to not have 30 pairs of these around. So anywhere in your house or your car, they're never any farther away than right here. You never have to get up out of your chair to go find the glasses because you have 30 pair. You have them spread around your house. You have them on the bathroom sink while you're sitting on the toilet. You have them on your dashboard. You have them at the bedside table. You have them by the computer, everywhere. Garage, they're only a dollar. There's never any reason to be any farther than this away from your reading glasses. Anyway, that's all I got to say about that. And call in. We got the keyboard here. We can do your requests. We can do some Christmas songs. The number is 608-210-1667. I guess I don't need to put these on to wear two pair of glasses until I'm actually about to read. So that's good.
Okay, getting ready to do surgery there.
Yeah, it does look kind of like the dentist, you know, has the loop over his glasses, you know, when he's looking into your, like the jewelers. My dad used to repair cameras, and he had a loop that looked like a jeweler's loop, you know, for tiny little parts of the cameras. But anyway, here's the story, and a little bit of my dad in here. This is one of the... several Christmas stories and remembrances that I put on Booksy.com. If you're interested in reading any of my short stories, it's free. Go on Booksy, BOOKSIE.com, and search Brian Beebe, and there are several of my stories. Anyway, this is Christmas Memories, and it goes like this. This is me writing. It says, for the few short years that I was a preschooler, and the first couple of years of grade school, my father worked in the heart of downtown Rockford, Illinois, at a store called Camera Craft on West State Street. State Street in Rockford was also U.S. Highway 20, and it ran the whole width of the city from east to west. But the best part of that whole street was the few blocks adjacent to the Rock River and running to the west. Across a State Street bridge, which spanned 100 yards or so, was across the Rock River, was East State Street. It could have been another country altogether. We only went there when passing through for any number of reasons, one of which was to catch U.S. Highway 51 north back to the suburb of Loves Park, where we lived. All right, 51 went north and south, and east, and Highway 20 went east and west. Camera Craft was across the state street from the State Theater in the first block from the river, and just a few steps to the east was Hickey's restaurant, where my mother would take us to meet my father for lunch when he was working as a clerk in the bustling camera store. Hickey's seemed to be very busy every time we went, but I would eventually get my banana split from the soda bar or a hamburger with a buttery toasted bun and dill pickle slices with plenty of ketchup. It was so good, it ensured I would want to come back again and again and again. Downtown Rockford had department stores, Carson Perry Scott and Company, Rockford Dry Goods, and J.C. Penney, in a four-block stretch with Sears, three blocks north, and Woolworth and Cress, just around the corner, for the five-and-dime stores. Woolworth and Cress, do you remember them, Mike?
Not that one, nope.
Woolworth, you do, huh?
Yeah, that
closed up kind of when you were a kid. Anyway, Kress and Kresge, although they sounded very much the same, Kress was K-R-E-S-S, and Kresge was K-R-E-S-G-E, and they were both dime stores, but I don't think they were related somehow. Just around the corner from the five and dime stores, we had two jewelry stores, Colmay's Jewelry, where years later they would sell Beatle records in the very back, and they would see a lot of me, and Gruno Jewelries. Gruno had a beautiful daughter, but that's another story for another day. Osco Drugs at the corner of North Main and State was the end of our Miracle Mile, the way I remember it. Great memories to grow up with. Even if my father hadn't worked downtown, we would have still spent a lot of time there. It was where you went to shop. There were no malls. A few outdoor shopping centers here and there, like our well-loved Meadow Mart in Loves Park. 10 to 12 stores tops, all in a straight line, and all with a door onto the shared parking area, which was cold in the wintertime. But downtown Rockford was where you went to really shop all day long, every day, except Sunday. And into the early evening cars choked the 8-square-block area of the heart of downtown. And Christmas shopping was the best shopping of the whole year. The downtown streets were lit up with holiday lights, and every store window had some kind of slow-moving toys as attention-getters with a Santa and his workshop on a bed of cotton snow. There were elves and trains and Christmas gift ideas everywhere you looked. And all the best-loved Christmas music filled the air, inside and out. It seemed to me at the time, and looking back, that JCPenney topped them all every year. They had a lot of windows in front that went all the way down to the sidewalk where kids could look and find magic tucked down in every corner. There were life-size reindeer and a life-size Santa in his workshop with some elves and gifts everywhere. The store had what seemed like dozens of pairs of heavy glass doors that opened with a whoosh of warm air that blew up from a steel grate in the floor. This is an old store. It warmed you as it warmed all the air between the outside doors and another set of glass doors on the inside of the entryway. I liked to go through those doors on a cold shopping day. I liked to stay standing there, but I was always rushed along eventually. Inside the store was a bright, busy place with people and interesting stuff everywhere. But what struck you instantly were the awesome 30-foot ceilings. The store had a huge main floor and a third floor that was a place you only rarely saw. Small furniture and household items like lamps and hampers and ash cans that stood in your living room, and when you pushed a button, the butts and ashes fell down into the cylinder under the ashtray top. I like to empty the ashtrays, but I found out that you had to make sure nothing was smoldering in there. The main floor and the third floor were connected by a long stairway, which is another reason why we didn't go up there as much. There was a small elevator, too, and that stopped on all the floors, including the floor in between main floor and the third floor, which was called the mezzanine level. And they have those in theaters. There were stores like this in every downtown everywhere, and in the early 50s, these mezzanine floors were where the store offices were. You youngsters won't remember this, but it used to be that when you bought anything, the clerk wrote down your purchase in a ticket book at the counter and then clipped the paperwork and your cash to a clip on a wire, and the whole thing was whisked up to the mezzanine where they made change and clipped it back on the wire and sent it back with your receipt. Some places did this with air-powered tubes like at the drive-up at your bank. It kept all the cash in one place, and the whole system was a wonder to a young boy who wanted to know about everything. Gift wrapping was free, and everybody used this service. Then it was back out through the whoosh doors, and into the cold and crowds and cars and the bus fumes and the wonder of downtown Rockford at Christmas time. Years later, I would ride those big buses alone from Love's Park to my orthodontist appointments on the top floor of the tallest building in Rockford, the Rockford Trust Building next to Osco's. Across the street and around the corner from Penny's was Crescent Company. It was a dime store that was old even then, with rutted, squeaking old wooden floors and lights hanging on long cords from another high ceiling. This place was made for kids like me. There were toys galore that were in bins and on counters and shelves that I could reach. Baseballs and gloves, cap guns and holsters, just like Roy Rogers had, and Hopalong Cassidy. Erector sets and board games and jackknives, modeling clay, and Jerry Mahoney ventriloquist dolls. And in another part of the store I didn't much care for, there were Betsy Wetsy dolls and play makeup and toy vacuum cleaners.
The pink side.
Yeah, the pink side. I didn't beg for that stuff, but one year I did ask Santa for and did receive an easy bake oven, and I loved it. I think I made some brownies. There was a huge glass display case and counter the whole width of the store up front that featured every kind of candy you could think of, and then even more. They would measure you out a quarter pound of peanut clusters or peppermint sticks just so you could have two or three to eat on the way to the next store. Christmas shopping could be wonderful. Sometimes we would ask for hamsters and rabbits, and that took us to a whole other part of town. Merry Christmas from Triple B, Brian Beebe. Okay. That, as kind of a respite from all the stressful shopping that everybody seems to be doing. And there was a joke about this. What goes ho ho whoosh? Ho ho whoosh. Ho ho whoosh. Santa caught in a revolving door. There you go. Gosh, I've got to get a drink. There's not too many. These are the G-rated Christmas jokes, too. I'm going to tell a couple today that aren't so G-rated, so I'll warn you ahead of time so you can turn down your radio or your phone or whatever and not be offended. Talking about monks, we will be talking more in the next couple of weeks about Robin Zander coming back in January, first weekend in January, Friday and Saturday, the 5th and 6th. And that's always a fabulous show, and it's sold out again. So I don't know how we can get the word out any better, except here's what we run up against. I help Dan Collar with these concerts. And if we were to advertise, the tickets would go so quickly that our friends wouldn't be able to get them. So we kind of let the word out slow to our friends and word of mouth. And then they get bought up by everybody in the Dells and nearby and our friends of ours. And everybody else is going like, we didn't hear a thing about it, you know. So, I mean, because we only have 180 seats, two nights, 360 people can go to these shows, plus the people standing in the back, which even my son has to do this year. Yeah, I have my son living with me now, and he wanted to go to the Robin show, and I said, well, I'm sorry, it's sold out. You have to stand up in the back. And he said, okay, he would. We also want to tell you, Stevie Ray called last week, and we talked a little bit about New Year's Eve at Sorrento's this year. There's going to be music. Somebody else is going to play between 6 and 8 before Stevie and I start. And then I might play for a little bit by myself. And get Stevie up there, And we're going to play 8 to midnight or, you know, whenever people call it quits on us, you know. We'll still be there after midnight, I'm sure. Because you know, well, always down in Florida, we always wished we could have just said, you know, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6 at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, you know. Because everybody wanted to be home. Nobody wanted to stay out till midnight. I was playing for people my parents' age back in the 80s in Florida, and nobody wanted to be out. There was no point in trying to stay out till midnight, you know. And that's when if you've had a couple extra drinks just to try to make it to midnight, and then you get stopped or in a crash, nobody wants that. So anyway, that's a little bit of that and a little bit of this. I'm going to sing a couple Christmas songs. I might tell you if I have time about a karaoke contest that I entered at Ho-Chunk a number of years ago that was quite a surprise for me. And let's see, Happy Merry Christmas jokes. I'm going to tell you a couple of cute ones. And then I will maybe ask you to turn down your radio or cover your ears while I tell a couple that aren't so G-rated. We do that after the break, kind of right there. I'll get a couple of jokes in there, a couple of Christmas songs. Right after we come back, it's the Brian Beebe Show, once again brought to you by Monk's Barn Grill all over the state and Sorrento's at the Wilderness up at Wisconsin Dells, where I play four nights a week. Come on, call us and request a song or make a comment. It's 210-1667.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Those loops, man. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your hearts be light. From now on, your troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, your troubles will be miles away. Here we are, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. All
the fates allow. From now on, you'll stand behind the highest bough. Yes, and have yourself a merry little Christmas now. Here we are, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years we all will be together, if the fates allow. Hang your shining star upon the highest bough.
All right. I might not have gone through that twice, but I blew the words so bad in the first in the first part of that song that I felt I had to go back and correct. Let's see. A couple of Christmas jokes. These are the G-rated, the kids ones, and I think they're funny because they're so bad, I think, probably. But here's a couple. How many presents can Santa fit in his empty sack? Hmm. One, because after that it's not empty. Right?
Nice.
Yeah. How do elves get to the top floor of Santa's workshop?
Huh.
On the elfader. The elfader. He's cute even just saying it. What do reindeer have that no other animals have? Hmm. Baby reindeer. Well, you're inquisitive, Mike, but you're not very clever about figuring these out ahead of time. Okay, and I'll do one more Christmas song, and then I'll tell you a couple that maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to. All right. And they're funny, too. I don't tell anything dirty just, you know, I don't think it's funny just because it's dirty. If it's not a funny joke, and some of them are kid jokes, too. You know, it's funny when kids say naughty things in jokes and stories. Anyway, call in. It's 608-210-1667. What should I do here? I'm dreaming of a white Christmas is in that key. I think I'll do to atone for the dirty jokes I'm about to tell. I'm going to sing. Oh, holy night, your stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul found its worth. The thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, now
when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night divine.
All right. I want to tell you, I'm not a particularly religious guy, but that song has a lot of real strength, and it's a powerful one to sing.
Big notes.
Whether you take the words out of it or not, yeah. It's, fall. Go from your D down to your B minor, F sharp minor, And it's powerful. I love Josh Groban's version of it. I have history with that song. I wrote another story about a time when Robin Zander, my friend from high school, who's coming to this concert, he's the singer of Cheap Trick, sang that song. He was a year behind me at school, and I came back to the Christmas concert. And I knew he was going to sing this song. And we had an 80-voice choir in our school because it was a 2,000 kids at our school. We had a lot of kids.
Cool. Yeah.
So we had a lot of singers. And they came out, as they did for, I don't know, 20 years, in choir robes with an electric candle, battery-operated candle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We always did for all the years I was there. And they did it the year after I left. And they all got up on this big riser, and so then all of a sudden, when it got to this song, they all turned their candles on, and the only other light, they turned all the lights in the gym off. We didn't
cool.
have an
yeah.
auditorium, but we had a gym, and the only lights in the whole place were those candles, the exit signs, and the little light over the piano music, and they sang this song. And Robin had the lead on it, and he was always a great singer. And they sang that song, and afterwards, the standing ovation went on and on for so long that they had to turn on the lights and take an intermission. People wouldn't sit down; they wouldn't stop clapping. It was that good.
Awesome.
So they took an intermission, and then years later, I started doing it. In my Christmas music selections. And I got invited down in Florida. I got invited to sing at a beach church service.
Fun.
Yeah. I only did that song. I didn't do anything else. But I think second or third year maybe I backed up somebody else, or they used my PA or something and sang with discs or something. But I sang that song for 800 people that were either on the deck behind this restaurant, the Sandbar restaurant on Anna Maria Island, or standing in the sand, at dusk, kind of as the sun went down on the Gulf, this service took place. And I sang this song for all these hundreds of people. It was always a powerful moment for me and for my family. But then the message was followed, and this minister was kind of a kook, but he was a great guy. And I can remember being at this one, just sitting behind my keyboard after I had sung. And he gave this Christmas message. And he wasn't watching the horizon, but somehow he timed it perfectly. And he gave this message, and they said, "Amen." And the sun zipped out behind the peaked, just went out behind the horizon right after he said, "Amen."
Huh.
And I asked him about it years later, and he said it was just totally accidental, and God's hand and whatever, but I don't know. It was pretty good
That's
showmanship
great, yeah.
too. Yeah, yeah. So then I I tell it nowadays. I tell people who ask me to sing that at Sorrento's. I said, you know, this isn't really one of those bar Christmas songs. You know, it's not. I'm not always comfortable singing that song at Sorrento's, but I almost always do when somebody asks me to, because it's such a good one. I'll sing another couple Christmas songs, but I want to tell you a couple of not so family-oriented Christmas jokes, okay? And all I have here is Mike to laugh and maybe hit the drum thing there. Yeah, see, that's all I got. If there were more people here, there would be more people laughing at these jokes. They're not just terrible. They're funny. In fact, I might laugh at them myself just because somebody has to. Okay. First one is this is kind of I might not tell that one. Okay, but this is kind of a harmless one. Three lawyers. They're fast on their feet, but they all die in this one car wreck, and they're facing St. Peter at Christmas time, wanting to go to heaven. And St. Peter's, he knows what lawyers are like, and he's making it tough on these guys. He says, okay, there's a big long line, and he says to these guys, well, if you can come up with something Christmassy, I might let you in. So these guys are sweating it, and they're thinking, and the first lawyer gets in his pocket, and he comes out with a pretty good idea. He comes up with a little lighter, automatic Bic lighter, you know, and he says, and St. Peter says, what's that? And he says, well, Christmas candle. He says, okay, come on in. And then the second guy, he said, well, that was a pretty good idea. What am I going to come up with? So he got out his keys, and he said, and St. Peter says, what's that? And he said, well, Christmas bells. And St. Peter didn't like it much, but he said, okay, come on in. So this third guy, now those are the only two good ideas, and what am I going to do? He thinks, he pulls out this pair of panties he found in his glove compartment the night before, and he holds them up in front of St. Peter. He says, what? And St. Peter says, what in the world? He says, they're carols. Who's on the phone, man? Nobody? He didn't want to wait?
No, calling for Mitch.
Looking
for Mitch.
All right, so I'm not going to tell that one, okay? That was a... keep your volume turned down for a minute, those of you who are kind of sensitive about this family-oriented show. Anyway, I was at Toys R Us a couple of years ago, and I saw this little girl frantically running up and down the toy aisle with the dolls, and she said, I said, can I help you, honey? And she said, I want to find that Barbie that comes with G.I. Joe. And I said, geez, I don't think so, honey. I think Barbie comes with Ken. And the little girl said, no, she only fakes it with Ken. I apologize. Mike's laughing. She only fakes it with Ken. Yeah. I shouldn't have told that one. Barbie with G.I. Joe. Yeah. Anyway, okay, I'll save I got a prize-winning one. It was in a bar, but it won a prize for a friend of mine who told this joke. And I'll clean it up as best I can. One more, and then a Christmas song. When you see me touching the keys again, you can turn up your radios or your phones, okay? One more first, and that is... last year, I've been single for a while now. I've been single for a number of years. And last year, I got a sweater for Christmas. I was hoping for a screamer or a moaner. Mike liked that one. I was hoping for a yeah. No, that's not too good. I'm gonna hear from a lot of people about those jokes. How about this one? Oh, the weather outside is frightful, it sure is. The fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Oh, it doesn't show signs of stopping. And I've brought some corn for popping. And lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, but my dear, we're still goodbying. As long as you're loving me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Oh, oh, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year. Oh, oh, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year. Oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year. That's what they always do at the end of Christmas songs. Who's on the phone, man?
Mitch.
Oh, goodness. So Mitch Henk is on the phone. My mentor,
Ryan,
my
Beebe.
Coach, my hero in the radio game. You know what I did? I brought some dress shirts for you, man.
Some what?
Dress shirts. Are you going to be here later?
Okay. Well, that's awesome.
Oh, are you going to be here later? Okay, good.
I'm in the next room, but what? I'll tell you what. Thanks for bringing back the memory of Burl Ives.
Well, yeah, Burl Ives. What about Burl Ives, man?
You did that better than Burl Ives, but I always think of Burl Ives on the Holly Jolly Christmas, and
yeah.
you brought back his memory.
Burl Ives even appeared in those claymation stories about Frosty and Rudolph. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
They had
yes,
a claymation figure.
Specials, right.
Yeah, those are the ones that I really want to catch on my TiVo, and I look up and down the listings. I think
and then the
saved
score
us.
Of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know, Rudolph, the famous special, the score was written by Maury Laws. His wife used to work with me in Green Bay.
Oh, yeah? And they
Maury
had,
just lived on the, he lived on the royalties, you know.
Fred Astaire was in that, wasn't he? Fred Astaire?
In Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I don't think he was in
that. He was in Frosty then.
Yeah.
He was in one of them.
Yeah, well, I think Burl Ives was.
Burl Ives. Do you remember anything about Burl Ives? You're younger than I, but he had quite a big recording career.
He did.
Other than those Christmas specials, he and the Christmas songs, he did. He was a folk singer. And he sold records back in before the Beatles.
And he was also politically quite radical in his young life.
I bet. I believe it. Folk music was radical.
He was in there with Woody Guthrie and Pete Seeger and the boys. I think he might have been a little almost on the commie side. But hey, you know, you're only young once.
Yep. So you can
be a commie when you're young.
Yeah.
When can you be a commie?
Do you remember a song that Burl Ives had a big hit before, you know, rock and roll, the Beatles changed everything, called The Big Rock Candy Mountain?
I've heard of that song.
The buzzing of the bees and the cigarette trees, the soda water fountains, the lemonade springs and the bluebird sings in the Big Rock Candy Mountain. I don't know if it had symbolic, drug references or political things in it.
It's right up your alley.
Yeah, when I was a kid, it was all about the candy man and the
cigarette trees. Any Kingston Trio?
We did. And Scotch and Soda. You couldn't have a hit with a song like Scotch and Soda. Hello? Where'd he go?
Did Rosemary Clooney do Scotch and Soda?
Yeah, but so did Kingston Trio actually.
Oh, the Kingston Trio,
song.
I see, yeah.
Yeah, didn't you say Kingston Trio?
I did, but that was originally, I think, Rosemary Clooney. But,
yeah.
You know, they did Merry Little Minuet, which I used to love to hear as a kid.
You're way older in spirit than you are in years, man.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But anyway, nice job on that. You got other callers, but Merry Christmas.
Oh, did you, how did the dirty jokes come across, the Christmas dirty jokes?
Well, I can't say I heard it. I was in the car, but I'll try to get you to tell it to me off the air.
Well, I might tell you. I got one more that I'm going to tell before the show's over. But thanks for calling, man.
All right. Take care.
You're always supportive of everything I try to do here, man.
Well, very much so.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, sir.
You're welcome.
Take care.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Who's on the phone, Mike?
Ed Legg.
Used to be Ed Legg. I'm not sure he goes with that moniker anymore. He's not on the.
Why not?
Well, you're not writing for the newspaper anymore. That's what you.
Well,
seem
I'm
to.
I'm not writing for them. I figured if I was going to write for free, I might as well write my book.
Well, if you're not going to make anything writing, you might as well write for something you like. And
there you go.
How is the new paying the bills kind of job doing?
It is. It's fascinating. It's special ops, which means I can't tell you. If I told you what I did, I'd have to kill you and anybody listening to the show.
Yeah, well, it'd be hard to find.
I'm kidding.
No, but I know, but that wouldn't be hard to do because I don't think there's anybody listening today.
It's just us two.
Yeah, us two and Mitch and Mike. And
that's good.
Anyway, nice to hear from you.
To be heard from.
What is your plan for Christmas, man?
I am staying in the Dells region. I'm actually going to be, helping to make sure that people get their last-minute items purchased at the outlet at the Dells, of course, where many fine items can be purchased.
Are you working at the outlet at the Dells now?
That is correct.
I didn't know that.
I am there right at this minute.
They have
taking my dinner break.
They have a lot of great promotions and music in the shopping center there.
They do. It's a fine place. They got a lot of nice shops, and they're open till 10 between now and Christmas. So they're doing the 12 days of Christmas. So even as you drive back tonight,
I could stop in and buy something from you.
You could.
Yeah. And do we
do that? You're in Madison, right? You went down to Madison?
Yeah.
Are you remote?
No, I'm in Madison.
Oh, good. Good. Okay.
But I don't live here.
I know that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think you did.
So now how do you finagle free tickets to the concerts at Monk's now if you don't write for the paper? That was one of your perks.
Well, that is a showstopper.
you don't have a good answer for that, huh?
I guess I have to. Well, I could pitch a story. I can start working on it now, way ahead of time.
It might even fit into your book. You're writing about music things, aren't you?
That is true.
Yeah.
And you certainly are included in there.
Right. So if it ever, it won't see the light of day if I get in there. You know that.
Well, or maybe that this is the break that you've been looking for. You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. To be in your groundbreaking book. Yeah.
Dollar starts coming your way, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you right now, Ed, I would work totally on spec. I mean, I'd let you write, I'd let you interview the heck out of me on commission, or you know, on the come, as they say in the gambling game.
Yep. As we used to say, yes.
Yeah, the gamblers used to say, if you were betting on the future of something, you'd say, we're going to bet it on the come.
Yep.
Usually a
now,
dice game.
You're a pretty good writer. Now, see, I've been told by people who listen to your show that they would love to hear you talk about some of the stories you've written about on Facebook from your early days adventures. And maybe you've talked about every single one of them already.
No, I haven't.
But I didn't think you had.
I did read one today while you weren't paying attention. Or while you weren't
working hard
before
serve
you were,
America.
Yeah, I understand. So and what does Georgia fit into the Christmas plan?
Not a bit, because the only reason I'd be going there is my dad and he's up here, so I mean I will be getting ready for Georgia's appearance in the college football playoff. So that does fit in somewhat. But no, I'm staying here and all the grandkids come from Minnesota and other places, and I don't think I have to go anywhere. And I'm not working Christmas Eve, which is nice.
Yeah, how does that work? How did that work? They're closed.
I don't
Christmas
know. It just, it's the bonus for signing up. It's the signing bonus.
Are you kidding?
I am.
In lieu of cash.
In lieu of cash. Yes.
Yeah.
Now you've got me really like completely preoccupied about how I'm going to cage my way into any kind of upcoming monk gig.
Yeah. Well, you can always pass yourself off as a photographer because you were always good at that.
That's true. You know what? That's true.
And then you could put the pictures, if you took a whole bunch and you put the pictures
on
Facebook or on Monk's website or something, and they might go for that. I'm not going to say his name because he was supposed to call the show today, and he didn't once again.
But, why didn't he do it?
No, because he just doesn't. I don't think he likes to, or he doesn't like me. One of the two. You know who I'm talking about if you want to get onto the monks thing. But anyway.
What is wrong with him? He should be flogging the.
I know,
you know,
but.
What's the first.
But he doesn't.
What is the first show there? Does he even deserve to have us talk about the first show coming up there?
Well, January 5th and 6th, but see, he doesn't have anything to sell because it's been sold out for months.
It's sold out, yeah.
So is there a Christmas joke that comes to mind, Ed?
Oh, my God.
A story about your history?
I could tell you something newspaper related. The Oak Ridge Boys are going to be here, and that is sold out.
This is the last one, though. They're not going to be here the year after this one, because I was at the Maggie May show, and the guy that owns the Crystal or runs the Crystal Grand now mentioned that they had scheduling conflict.
Are you serious?
He said they're not coming.
Are they done? Are they
you know,
stop that
one,
doing?
They're all close to 100.
They are. Well, I interviewed one of them.
They're late 90s.
I interviewed one of them, and they've got a new album coming out, and they have an American-made suit line.
I hope
I interviewed the one. They
were not a swimsuit line. It's not a swimsuit.
They were recently in a cartoon with Blake Shelton, and the one with, well, they're all really hairy dudes. So I can't say the hairy one.
Well, did you interview them in the nude, or what? How do you know
that? I interviewed the front man, nominal front man.
Okay, you interviewed him for 5 or 10 minutes, and then you said, okay, off with your shirts, right?
Yes, I did. I wanted to see if that's true. I wanted to see if the drapes matched the carpet.
Hey, I got...
Yeah, this is horrible.
I got
this is taking a horrible turn.
You can't go back to work now because they'll be saying, "Oh, we heard you on the Brian Beebe show, and you and you had to interview the Oak Ridge boys in their skivvies." Hey, Ed, thank you for calling, man. And I might just stop. I might just stop at the mall on my way home.
Okay, call I'll be here. I mean, call me even if it isn't tonight. Just give me a holler, and I can come out and inspect the men's room while you're in there. And let me tell you this. Look, if you need a roadie or a valet in early January, you know that I'm you know who's important to me at that gig, and it isn't anybody famous.
Oh, yeah?
It's you, brother.
Oh, I'm relatively famous.
You are, that's true.
But you can insult me all you want to if you...
Tell me this. Yeah. Tell me this, brother, man.
All right.
What, do you have any kids coming up?
Yeah, well, I have a son living with me now.
You what?
I have a son from Florida living with me. He moved up just before the hurricane.
Gigs.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Are you playing every weekend through the holidays?
Of course. Those are the only time it makes sense for me to play.
That's good. How late do you play?
Until we fall down. 10.
Mostly
10.
Well, guess what? I sometimes get up around that time, and I might come by.
Yeah, but you don't drink. So,
that's
don't. We don't make any money if you come by.
But I'm a fantastic musician.
You are. Hey, Ed, you're wonderful. Thank you for calling. Merry Christmas if I don't see you tonight.
I'll keep calling, and you will see me.
All right, man.
Let's hook up. Love you, buddy.
All right, stay. If you can stay right where you're sitting and listen to this terrible joke, I'm going to finish the show.
I will. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat supper while I'm listening.
Years ago, my friends and I went to this bar around Christmas time down in Florida, and they had a contest for who could tell the funniest joke or something. My friend got up there. I didn't even know this guy could tell jokes, and he told this one. And it was filthy the way he told it. But I'm going to clean it up because it doesn't need to be filthy to be funny. It needs to be filthy to be like 50% funnier. Do you know what I mean? It can be a little bit funny without being filthy. So I'm going to tell this joke. The little kid, a 5-year-old kid, is sitting on Santa's lap at the mall. Santa says, "Well, what would you like for Christmas this year, Johnny?" And the little 5-year-old boy says, "When I wake up Christmas morning, I want to look under my bed, and there better be a damn sled under there. And then I'm going to go down under the tree, and there better be a damn train set. And then I'm going to go out to the garage, and there better be a damn bicycle in there." You can imagine how much I'm cleaning this up. And Santa, he can't believe it. He after the kid gets down, he calls the mother over, and he says, "Your son has a terrible, filthy mouth. We have to teach him a lesson somehow. What should we do?" "Oh, I tell you what, let's do. Christmas Eve, go out in the yard and find you a little pile of dog dew and put it under his bed. Another little pile of dog dew under the tree. Another one out in the garage. We'll teach this kid a lesson he won't soon forget." So sure enough, she goes and gets a Christmas Eve and a little pile of dog poop under the bed, a little pile under the tree, and another one out in the garage. And when the kid wakes up Christmas morning, he quick looks under his bed and sees the dog dew. Races down the stairs to the tree. There's more dog dew. Out to the garage, fast as he can, more dog dew. His little neighbor kid, a friend, is hanging over the fence, and he says, "Hey, what'd you get for Christmas?" He says, "I got a damn pony, but I can't find him." There you go. Merry Christmas, everybody. If I don't hear from you, I'll probably hear from a lot of people from that one. Yeah.